Blog Talk Radio.
Along with Gloria Wells, who's moderating our chat room. And we are currently in the book study of Spiritual Partnership, A Journey to Authentic Power by Gary Zukav. And we're in the meat of the book study, probably close to more than halfway through the book and nearing the end. And what's beautiful about this now where we are is because it's giving us all of the guidelines of how to develop our authentic power. Yesterday, we talked about compassion. The day before, we talked about courage. So we're definitely in the seas, the courage, the compassion, how to move, how to have the courage to face our fears, how to have, once we face our fears, how we develop compassion for others because we understand the pain that they're going through and the feeling of powerlessness that they're going through that moves us into compassion. Today we're going to talk about the guidelines of how to practice compassion, how to develop compassion. And hopefully we'll have a chance to move into conscious communication and actions today, which is chapter 27. I hope you had a chance to read it. So, Dr. Reggie, what do you think about the book so far? Hold on, let me open up your mic.
That would be nice so I could be heard. How wonderful. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, baby.
Good. I want to make sure you're okay. You're really right into it, into the meat of it. I want to make sure you always, I acknowledge you.
Aww.
I always want to do that and acknowledge everybody on the line who listens to take the time this morning. Mm. I think it's a great book. I think he's tapped into something very profound, and it's a wonderful study, and I think you do a great job in facilitating this class. It's a wonderful experience. It really is.
It is. It's different from the books that we've done in the past, which I think really inspired us. Oneness, you could just find anywhere, lay on any page in oneness and just be uplifted and inspired and from it. But this book is really saying take the time to discover who you really are on every level and understand the motivation and the intention behind the choices that you make. You know, all of the other books definitely are telling us that we create our own reality by our thoughts and our words. And we definitely know that we should be choosing the higher thoughts and the higher words. He's actually saying, let's go deeper. Let's clean up our act on a deeper level. Because it's one thing to feel sentimental and go, oh, that's deep. Oh, that's really wonderful. But he's saying, let's really do the work and let's really make the shift. And I just love that about this process. Because I've encouraged you all along to practice. But he's actually giving us some tools to practice with. And that's the difference. Okay, so you know what, Dr. Reggie?
Mm-hmm.
We're having a great discussion, but we haven't done the one thing that we always do every morning.
Seal this thing with prayer.
Sealing it in prayer. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father and Mother God and Goddess, ruler of the known universes throughout all time and eternity, we thank you that we are part of this experience, that we're on the leading edge. Thank you that we're on the leading edge of who we are and on the leading edge of a new discovery within ourselves, light and peace, things that have been existent from day one. We thank you that we are in the precipice, the real energy of who you are in us. These books are wonderful tools, and thank you for Cynthia, who facilitates and opens the road and puts us on the path to a higher understanding and a higher learning and a higher practice in our daily living. We thank everybody who listens to this show that they are encouraged and inspired to find their inner truth, to know who they are in your presence. Without you, there is nothing. Without you, there will be nothing. And without you, we have nothing. So thank you for thinking of us in your vast energy, in your mind, in your infinite wisdom and intelligence, to put us here to be co-creators with you in this wonderful, joyous life. Let us see this life as joyous, not a burden, as wondrous and energetic as children, not tired and drawn out and worn out, but as a wonderful experience every day to look forward to something new and energetic in our lives, and that we inspire others to do the same, that we're here not just for ourselves and to live for ourselves, but to help others to improve the quality of their spiritual life with you, showing them who you are in us. Let our lights so shine before men that they may glorify you in us. We believe it is so, and so it is.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ranji. Wow. You know, I just love to hear him pray. And it just blesses us so much in the morning to have those words poured over our souls in the morning and to realign us with, or to reawaken us or make us more aware of our connection to the divine energy within us. And I thank him so much for it. What a gift. What a gift to call in that energy. Thank you so much, Dr. Ranji. Alrighty, so we're talking about the compassion guidelines. And I'm going to just start from the beginning of the chapter. If you're reading along with me this morning, I'm on page 178 in chapter 26. Compassion is being moved to and by acts of the heart. Only loving parts of the personality are motivated by the heart. The frightened parts of the personality are oriented differently. Possible acts of the heart are limitless. Opportunities for them arise each moment, and each is uniquely defined by time and circumstance. Your creativity is without limit, and so, therefore, are the ways that you can act with compassion. You see, you were created by a divine energy that knows no limitations. Therefore, you have the same qualities, no limitations. You can choose, as I love how Abraham says it from the Hicks material, you can be, do, or have anything that you desire. And desire comes from where? Within the heart. And look where they talk about compassion is born, in the heart. Where is love? In the heart. It's about your feeling nature, your creativity. And remember, you are a co-creator with that which created you. Your creativity is without limit. And so, therefore, are the ways that you can act with compassion. There's no limitations there. So practicing the compassion guidelines will create compassion in you. What's the one of the major principles that we learn? If there's something that you want to be, if there's something that you're looking for, something that you desire, then become that which you desire. If you want more love in your life, become love. Express love. and then you will attract love. So he's talking about the law of attraction, is he not? Practicing the compassion guidelines will create more compassion for you. Practicing how to be compassionate is going to attract more compassion to you. You will become compassionate. So imagine following these guidelines when you are alone with your thoughts, and follow these guidelines when you are with your spiritual partners and with those who do not know about spiritual partnership. If you are not sure how to challenge a frightened part of your personality, or you do not see a compassionate response in the moment, follow these guidelines and then follow them again. It's, you know, what just ran through my mind was his line where he talks about how he jumps out. He was a parachute trooper, a Green Beret, doing those night drops from the airplane, as parachute drops, and how there was so much going on and so many concerns, and really and truthfully, he was afraid, but yet he did it again and again and again. He faced his fear again and again and again. And so what he's really saying is, have the courage to face your fears again and again, following these guidelines. Okay, what's the first guideline here? I need to change my perspective from fearful to loving. I need to choose to see myself and others in a loving or an appreciative way. You need to catch yourself when you're judging. Oh boy, that's a challenge right there, isn't it? You need to catch yourself when you're judging another person or when you're frustrated with another person. You know, and when you get busy in life and you're trying to do things and get things done, stopping to just say, you know, I love you, that is an interruption. I used to supervise people, and I would tell Reggie, I said, it's just too hard. I have to have all this miscellaneous conversation with people and butter them all up and, oh, just to get them to do their job. All I want you to do is, can you please just do such and such and such? That's all I want to have to say. Do so-and-so. I need you to do this and this. But no, I got to go, oh, you know, that's a lot of work. I would really appreciate it. Now, and if you will look at it this way, oh, my goodness. But I have learned to love people where they are and to value what they bring to an organization, their skills and their talents. And when I moved into valuing them and realizing that the energy of God is in them and has blessed them with the gift to make your organization run better, I began to appreciate them. And then I could make requests from that place of appreciation. You're the best at this. I need your help. No one else can do it like you. And that came from the authentic power in me. Learn to be loving and appreciative to others. Even, you know, I'm going to share this, Dr. Reggie. Dr. Reggie is, you know, going through dialysis, it changes his chemistry. And so sometimes he's not as stable on his feet as he'd like to be, or he gets fatigued sooner than he would like to, because it's always about keeping, you know, the phosphorus and the calcium, everything. He's a walking chemistry set. And everybody's trying to keep it all in balance. So here's a man who is used to being in control of everything and having all this strength and everything, and not quite able to do it now. And here I am trying to compensate what he can no longer do as well as he used to. And you could see the frustration rise in him when I'm trying to help, because he doesn't like to look at that part of himself. But as we've been going through this book, what I have noticed is that he's beginning to recognize that I love him enough to compensate, to create this balance of what he can no longer do to help support him in that. He felt in the beginning that I was trying to make him, I was saying, you're not capable of doing this. And he was feeling that I was attacking him on some level. But all I was doing was providing support. And so now I've been seeing this shift of where, oh my goodness, I appreciate that you love me enough to support me, and I feel safe. I'm not afraid. And we embrace each other and we cry together from that simple realization. So you see, you can be in a relationship and still discovering these frightened parts of your personality, or you have drama that shifts how your perception of your life. This illness shifted his perception of who he is, but he's still the same man that I fell in love with years ago. And I have to help him to see you're still the same. You are not powerless. God is still moving through you. There are no limitations of what you can do. I'm just here to support you, lift you up until you can see it for yourself. That is powerful. That is powerful. Can you practice that today? No judgments. No labels. Just love and appreciation. Look at this. You know, God takes me right to where I need. He says, sometimes the universe gives you the experience of shifting to a loving perspective without effort on your part, a grace-filled change of experience from fear to love. You may have had such an experience. For example, Linda and I were settling into our seats for a flight home after a long trip. And we were so pleased to have an empty seat between us. It gave us a place to put our books and our notes and our little snacks and just to stretch out. And just before the doors closed, here comes this disheveled man down the aisle toward us, and he stopped right beside Linda because she was sitting on an aisle seat, and he showed her his ticket for the empty seat in the middle. Well, Linda offered him her aisle seat, and she just moved over to the seat next to me. And his clothes were all rumpled, and he was unshaven, and his hair was unkempt, and he smelled of alcohol. So I could feel Linda's concern. I was concerned about having him next to us for a long flight as well. And we sat silently through takeoff and the first 20 minutes. And when a flight attendant came by, he ordered a bourbon, although it was early morning. But Linda usually enjoys speaking with fellow travelers, but this time she remained quiet. And I saw her thinking, and rather, I really should say, I saw her feeling as she pondered the person beside her. And then to my surprise, she asked him, "Where are you from?" And he looked at her directly and said softly, "I have just buried my daughter."
Oh my God.
And his simple words just opened my heart. And I saw that they deeply touched Linda, too. And she became available and interested instead of judgmental and distant. And gently she asked him more questions, and slowly his story emerged. And by the time we arrived at the airport, we had actually become friends. Because he intended to take a taxi home, but when we realized how close he lived, we offered to drop him off. So the last time we saw him, he was waving us goodbye. Now, look, I didn't hear any Linda's conversation with him through most of the flight, but I know she spoke very gently to him about frightened and loving parts of the personality. And I know that she helped him as well as she could to see that his grief and his pain were experiences coming from parts of his personality that can be challenged and healed. Isn't that a beautiful story? You will be so surprised when you're making all these judgments about a person that you don't even know. Oh, he's taking bourbon in the morning. His clothes. Looks like he slept in his clothes, not knowing the pain that that person is going through. Amen. So if you practice this guideline, and what is the guideline? To change your perspective from fearful to loving. To choose to see yourself and to choose to see others in a loving and appreciative way. If you just practice that today, you'll be awesome. It will remind you. Okay, look how quickly I am remembering. Look for ways to let a new perspective dissolve your fear. Allow yourself to become one who at this time and in this place appreciates instead of judges, loves instead of fears, and creates authentic power. That's your first guideline for today on compassion. The second one is to release any distance that you feel from anyone. When you feel distant from others, a frightened part of your personality is active. There are as many ways to create distance from people as there are experiences of frightened parts of your personality. Here's some examples: jealousy, resentment, anger, the need to please, a feeling entitled, being overwhelmed, feeling inadequate or impatient. All of them are opportunities to challenge and heal frightened parts of your personality and to cultivate the loving parts. You will know that the frightened part of your personality no longer controls you when you feel close again, or maybe for the first time with someone else, when you can feel close to them. So what is he saying here? He's saying, let's just say that you are in a relationship and you're at each other all the time. There's just a little tit for tat going back and forth. And that's a power struggle, is it not? Well, you know, you did so-and-so. Well, that's because you did so-and-so. And the blame is out there. Everything is what? External, isn't it? I got to be right. I have to win. You know, me. You're not meeting my needs. You're not making me happy. He's defining it as it could come up as jealousy, resentment, anger, the need to please, all of these things. But let's say you're in this relationship and there's all this tit for tat going on. So because of that, there's distance between you, is it not? Right? So he's now saying to release that distance and to feel close again, you're going to have to find the loving parts of your personality in order to do that. And he talks, here's what he says. He talks about Carl Jung, and he says that in the last century, Carl Jung illuminated a way for anyone to discover the frightened parts of his or her personality in certain circumstances and to experience them. But he didn't term it as the frightened parts of the personality. what you do not see in yourself, and which equals and means the frightened parts of your personality, you tend to project that onto the world and see it outside of you. And you never like what you see when you see it there. And Jung called this projection. Probably you guys have heard this before, right? So here's what he's saying. In other words, what you find too painful or too shameful to acknowledge in yourself, you see it in others, and you do not like it in them. So if you think of yourself as caring, for example, but there's a frightened part of your personality that does not care about others, then what you're going to find, you're going to find individuals who do not care about others extremely repulsive. They may or may not be caring people, but the important thing is that your painful emotional experience when you see or you think you see the lack of caring in another is really something that's deep inside of you. So my mentor would say, if you are having this experience, yeah, and you're being faced with and challenged with another person, that it is a reflection of something inside of you that you need to work on. And so what could that be? So whoever is irritating you the most right now, they're there to reflect some part of you that you need to work on. And didn't we get that out of oneness as well? They taught us that lesson as well. This is how we raise our vibration, is it not? If we're into the ascension, hello? So when you stop and trying to win the argument in tit for tat, and you force yourself to be quiet, and you really look at the situation and what's going on, and you're honest with yourself, I'm not feeling worthy. I'm really jealous of you. Then you can begin to heal. The degree of the repulsion that you feel is a measure of how much you do not want to recognize in yourself what you think you see in another. If you really do not want to see something in yourself, you really will not like it when you see it in someone else. You know, Dr. Reggie was talking about these ministers, or some of them that have come out to admit that they are homosexuals, had the loudest voice against homosexuality. It's a perfect example of the pain of covering up that which was within them. They were the loudest speakers against homosexuality, and yet they were actual homosexuals. And I'm not making them wrong. I'm loving them. As a matter of fact, I think it takes an extreme amount of courage to have railed against something so strongly and then come back and love yourself enough to say, you know, this is who I am. And I know what I said, and if I offended anyone, I apologize. But I know that my gift is to teach the Word of God, and I want to continue to do that. That's my calling. That takes courage, does it not? And then what do we do as loving humans? We must have the compassion to understand how much courage that took and how much pain they went through, that we can love them despite it. Do you see now how this principle of being able to love people even though they do ugly things, things that we think are not acceptable. Do you see how that how compassion comes in and makes that possible? Wow. Okay. Let's talk about the third guideline, to be present while others are speaking and not preparing replies or judging or et cetera. So how many of you have been in a conversation and you're just waiting to, you say, okay, they made this point. Oh, I got this point. I have this point. Okay, when they take a breath, I'm going to say what I have to say. Oh, I don't agree with that. No. Let me put my point in here. Okay, they're going to stop. You're not present. If you're trying to figure out when you can say something or what you're going to say, you're not present. He says, when the person you are with does not command your attention, you lose power. Being present to others is not a communication skill. It is required in order to enter your life consciously. When you are with someone you are not paying attention to, for example, thinking of a reply or of what you should be doing somewhere else, or feeling that he is not worthy of your attention, then you step into an emptiness of daydreams and preoccupations. And your interactions with fellow students in the Earth School are the substance of your curriculum in it. When you are not present with others, you cannot see opportunities that the universe provides you to find the roots of your pain and your joy. You sit beside a well, thirsty. Water is there, but you cannot see it. And some people spend their entire lives thirsty. I love that example. You know, if you love the person and you appreciate the person and you are there in the moment with that person, there's a gift that's going to come from that experience. Trust me. You cannot be that completely aware and in tune and in the moment without being blessed. Amen. It just doesn't have, that's just how the universe works. It's always there to support you. God is always there to support you. Notice I'm using universe and God interchangeably, because there's only one force, right? Only one power. So he gives this, he says, my adopted Sue uncle told me, nephew, always listen respectfully when someone speaks, even if you think what he is saying is nonsense. He was not interested in flattering people. He was committed to creating a life of power. You can leave a conversation without letting your attention leave it first. There are no casual or random interactions. You and those you encounter are fellow souls. Learning lessons of power and responsibility and wisdom and love. So your daydreams and your regrets and your anticipation, all of these are experiences of the frightened parts of your personality that cannot fulfill you no matter how many times you have them. Are your most meaningful memories of vacating and ignoring fellow souls or retreating into your thoughts? Or are they of souls who gave you the gift of their presence and receive the gift of yours? Wow. Power exists only in the present moment. That's all we have, is the present moment. The future is imagined and the past is gone. So savor each moment, not by grasping it. Here's the key: expanding it. Wow. I'm telling you, this man, I love, you know, I really love how the gift of putting words together that create images in your mind and give you a sense of the soul of the person writing it. And that's what I find here. He's really sharing his journey and then saying, this is how I worked through it. Now, it may not appeal to you, but he is definitely, the path that he has taken has definitely been outlined in almost every book that we've read. Even Russell Simmons said, keep your mind on those things that are loving and be humble. Isn't he talking about compassion? I mean, there's only like a few little principles that we have to learn to make major, major changes in our lives. I think it's probably about 5 or 6. How many did he outline here? Let's go through and see. We haven't discussed them all, but let's see what he talks about. He talks about commitment. He talks about courage. He talks about compassion. He talks about conscious communication and actions. He's given 4. And all 4 are utilizing love to overcome fear. And that's our challenge in life, letting go of the fear. And he's outlined only 4 principles. And then off the top of my head, I'd say that there's 6 or 7. We studied Deepak Chopra's book on the 7 spiritual laws of success. It was only 7 spiritual laws. So there's not that many things that we have to learn. The trick is practicing. And we have all eternity to practice. Listen, I'm going to open up the lines this morning. I want to hear from you guys this morning. Come on, bless me, bless me, bless me. I'm going to give you my full attention. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Two, three, four, five. You're on the air this morning. You going to bless me?
Absolutely. Good morning, Mrs. Gloria, and bless you.
Oh, Gloria, how are you? Have you been getting my emails?
I have been getting your emails. The thing is that, you know, I have experienced a personal, you know, setback, you know, of sorts. I don't know exactly how to word that, but, you know, this past weekend, it's just one thing after another, and they all seem to be happening on the same day. I mean, literally everything that I valued, just everything just turned amazingly in a very odd way. It all seemed to happen like within a 24-hour period. Then the couple of days following that, it just continued. So what happened for me was that during this time, I really went inside. I tried to fall back on, and that's the reason why I chimed in this morning, because I wanted to share that when you're in the midst of something like I was, the powerlessness that overcame me was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did not find, you know, everything that I've learned, everything that I've studied, the books I've read, the powerful people that I've listened to. One of the things that Gary Zukav said in this particular chapter was that you cannot change your emotions at will, but you can choose what to do with them when they come. Mm-hmm. The thing that created that level of powerlessness for me was knowing that there was a better way, and somehow I was part of that better way in that moment. And also knowing that I was the co-creator of my existence is what compounded that level of powerlessness, because I felt like somehow I've created all of this for myself when I couldn't see that connection. You know what I mean? The things that were happening, I could not make the connection that I was creating those. Like, there was a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what happened for me was over the next few days, as I began to center myself in the reality that this too shall pass, and you know, the things that I had learned in the first couple of days, the things I learned seemed so far from me. They just seemed distant, across the way, across the room, across the ocean. But
mm-hmm.
as the time went on over the next couple of days, the universe, God began to bring certain things to me to, number one, confirm that I was okay, to confirm that that he was always with me. I actually listened to, it was by Neil Donald Walsh called the Three Ways to Overcome Struggle was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, I mean, I was just shifted. I mean, there was a shift in me that I can't even begin to explain, not just from that conversation, but from that conversation and everything I had gone through or learned before that. What he taught me specifically that helped me to shift, and that's the thing I want to share. The one point that I took away that really helped me to pivot from where I was to where I am now, you know, was that the level of mastery that we call forth in our life, there is an equal and opposite force that must appear. He talked about us being a light, and that if we are a light amongst all lights, then we wouldn't know that we were the light if it were not for the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me a brand new spin on top of that. It wasn't just that conversation. It was everything that I had learned. But that helped me to really put into perspective the so-called, quote-unquote, darkness that was surrounding me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think at a soul level that I was going through something to pull me to another level, to a new level, to a new understanding, not to just read this information, to fully incorporate this and integrate this into my life.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
To make it, you know, something that I could understand who I am as a result of what I've been through, instead of letting what I'm going through define who I am.
Amen.
So I guess, you know, that main point I want to make is that when times are tough, that's when it's the toughest for us to really grasp all this stuff that we're learning. When I'm sitting here in the morning and I don't have any real issues, I can absorb everything, I can go through everything, I can take what I need to take from everything that I'm learning. But when I'm in the fire, when I'm in the pot, when I'm in the depths of whatever's going on, I had to fight to get back to this information. It didn't come easily to me. I had to tame my emotions and get back to what I know is the truth. And the truth is, I am the light.
Amen.
Amen.
I am here to give, not to constantly get, and acquire. I'm here. My life is a demonstration of giving from the heart with compassion and courage. So
wow.
That's my story. That's my story, and I'm sticking
wow.
to it.
What a powerful testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that. We're running a little bit out of time. We only have 30 seconds. If you're listening online, we'll probably stop streaming. But that was so powerful. I'd like to spend just a little time, give Dr. Reggie enough time to respond, and then go into our closing prayer.
Well, there is a response. I think she's done a fantastic job at incorporating this emotionally. And the words I like that she used, the ultimate lesson and how it made her pivot, because when you're in the place of contrast, in the place of darkness, your light shines even more so. And you can also say, like Cynthia mentioned, look how quickly I am remembering. You're not beating yourself up. You're saying, I'm in the midst of all this mud, but, you know, there's clear water somewhere and I can climb out of it. Thank you, God. In me is the strength and the power to do so. What a beautiful testimony, Gloria. And you learned a great lesson and sharing it with others. And it's not just about you, but about helping others from your experience. So it's an experiential reality that you come to break through. So good for you.
I ditto to what Dr. Reggie said. I just think it's amazing. And that's the whole purpose of this teaching and participating in Circles of Prosperity on a daily basis, because it's a constant reminder. Even though it was difficult for her to shift, if she only jumped into Circles of Prosperity every now and then and hadn't had this daily practice, she probably would have been totally overwhelmed by her experience. Whenever problems come up in my life, I run to all my books and all my tapes. I feed on the truth principles. And as I go through the problem, just as she went through the problem, I grow deeper in my understanding. And that's the whole purpose of it. That's why we attract these experiences to us. Dr. Reggie and I were walking to the grocery store the other day, and I burst out laughing. He said, "Why are you laughing?" And I said, "I'm laughing at all the drama that life is giving us right now. And I know everything will be fine, but it's just funny how, you know, they say when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours." That's where we are at this point in our challenges. And I actually started laughing because I know that there's nothing that will destroy me. So I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. I hope you hold that. And thank you so much, Gloria, for sharing.
Thank you, God, for this wonderful lesson, a lesson in divine truth, helping us to launch ourselves in the midst of darkness, knowing at the end of the tunnel is light, always light, within ourselves and even externally. You created this light in us to make us a fantastic, shining, galactic beacon to others in ourselves. Let it burst through and shine forth and create a path that is unforgettable in this lifetime. Thank you for beautiful spirits like Gloria and like Cynthia and like Jean Livingston and Carolyn and all the people who tune in, Anthony, all these beautiful spirits who have searched and searched in this deep well of knowing and understanding. Let them come out quenched of their thirst and knowing they provide a provision for us as examples on this path. We thank them and their generation and their spirits and their ascestors and the angels and ascended masters who watch over us. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. God bless you. God protect you. Have a wonderful day.